This is part four of a series I'm calling Lives of Great Purpose. In part one, I talked about how, as followers of Jesus, there is nothing common about us, for God considers us his treasured possession. And we talked about how Peter calls us a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, and a people belonging to God. And that God has loved us from before the beginning of time, as we know it anyway. Then at just the right time, he knit us together in the womb and had us to be born exactly when and where he wanted us to be. We went through all kinds of experiences, both negative and positive, and at just the right time, we were called by Jesus to be his followers, all for great purposes. And this is just how great. Jesus said, "I confer on you a kingdom, just as my Father conferred one on me." As his adopted children, we've inherited the family business. And the family business is the kingdom of God. And the church is the expression of that kingdom on earth. Then I talked about how we are called to be the salt of the earth and the light of the world in parts 2 and 3. And those messages are all here on the website. Now, when we talk about having lives of great purpose, if you are thinking, he must be talking to someone else. Who am I that I should presume that God is calling me to any great purpose? Well, if that's your reaction, you're not the first. So let's take a look at examples in the historical record of when God called people to works of great purpose. Let's start with Moses. We aren't called to be Moses, but we do have some things in common with him, as we shall see. Moses had been born an Israelite, but it was at the time Israel was being enslaved by the Egyptians. And out of fear that the Israelites would grow too strong for them, the Egyptians started killing off male Israelite babies. So Moses' mother sent him adrift in the Nile to save his life. And by God's great design, Moses was picked up by Pharaoh's daughter and raised as her own son, with all the privileges and power of Egyptian royalty. A very fascinating read in the book of Exodus, chapters 1 and 2. But to make a long story short, Moses tried to free his fellow Israelites, but failed miserably and was chased out of Egypt to the land of Midian, where he would spend the next 40 years uneventfully raising sheep. When chapter 3 begins, Moses is 80 years old. So let's join the story there. Exodus chapter 3, verse 1. Now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. And he led the flock to the far side of the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. There the angel of the Lord appeared to him in flames of fire from within a bush. Now, as a side note, whenever you see references to the angel of the Lord in the Old Testament, it's not just an angel. There are times angels like Michael or Gabriel show up to deliver messages from God to people. But when it says the angel of the Lord, it's a reference to the Lord himself. It's known as a theophany, a visible manifestation of God himself. So you notice it just said the angel of the Lord, and next you'll see it say the Lord. Anyway, back to the story. Moses saw that though the bush was on fire, it did not burn up. So Moses thought, "I will go over and see this strange sight, why the bush does not burn up." When the Lord saw that he had gone over to look, God called to him from within the bush, "Moses, Moses." And Moses said, "Here I am." "Do not come any closer," God said. "Take off your sandals. The place where you are standing is holy ground." Then he said, "I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob." At this, Moses hid his face because he was afraid to look at God. Then, verse 7, it gets very interesting. The Lord said, I have indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt. Notice that. The love and compassion of God is the reason Moses was called. God's people were being mistreated, and God sees it. And the people have been crying out to God for deliverance, and he hears their prayers. It says, I have heard them crying out because of their slave drivers. He sees, he hears, but not impassively. Next it says, and I'm concerned about their suffering. He feels their pain. And Moses must be thinking what wonderful news this is, because it was the very cry of Moses' heart all these years that God would see their plight and take action. And now God is telling Moses that he's going to take action. And you know, Moses has got to be rejoicing to hear this. In verse 8, God says, so I've come down to rescue them from the hand of the Egyptians. And Moses says in his heart, yes, Lord, hallelujah. And God continues, and to bring them up out of the land into a good and spacious land, a land flowing with milk and honey. And Moses says in his heart, yes, Lord, hallelujah. Then verse 9, and now the cry of the Israelites has reached me, and I have seen the way the Egyptians are oppressing them. And Moses says in his heart, yes, Lord, hallelujah. Then verse 10, so go now. I am sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. And suddenly Moses' heart sinks. In his heart he says, you got to be kidding me. Verse 11, but Moses said to God, well, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt? Who am I? Too old, unqualified, not gifted, just a common shepherd? But you know what? That's the very response God wanted. I'm not qualified. And the reply God gives to Moses is the same one he gives to each of us individually and to us collectively as a church. Verse 12, and God said, I will be with you. There's the answer to all our deficiencies. I will be with you. Moses sees his weakness, but our weakness is the very thing that makes room for God's strength. Even as Paul said in 2 Corinthians 12, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses so that Christ's power may rest on me. And he said, for when I am weak, then I am strong. The conversation Moses has with God goes on. Then chapter 4, verse 1, Moses answered, what if they do not believe me or listen to me and say, the Lord did not appear to you? And God has answers for that. Then verse 10, Moses said to the Lord, pardon your servant, Lord. I have never been eloquent, neither in the past nor since you've spoken to your servant. I am slow of speech and tongue. The Lord said to him, who gave man his mouth? Who makes him deaf or mute? Who gives him sight or makes him blind? Is it not I, the Lord? Now go. I will help you speak and will teach you what to say. But Moses said, pardon your servant, Lord. Please send someone else. I'm quite confident that there are more than a few of us thinking that exact same thing when we ponder the Lord's plan for us and for this church in this city. But what if I don't really want a life of great purpose, but just want to be left alone? Well, good luck with that. Moses didn't get away with it, and neither will we. Romans 11:29, the gifts and the call of God are irrevocable. And at 80 years of age, Moses was called to lead God's people out of Egypt, and he did. Next person we can relate to, Judges 6, verse 11. The angel of the Lord came and sat down under the oak in Ophrah that belonged to Joash, the Abizrite. where his son Gideon was threshing wheat in a wine press to keep it from the Midianites. Here we have the story of Gideon. The people of God were being oppressed by the Midianites, so much so that Gideon was threshing wheat in secret so that the Midianites wouldn't come and steal it. Then the angel of the Lord shows up, who we just discussed is a manifestation of God himself in human form, a theophany. Verse 12, when the angel of the Lord appeared to Gideon, he said, "The Lord is with you, mighty warrior." "Pardon me, my Lord," Gideon replied, "but if the Lord is with us, why has all this happened to us? Where are all his wonders that our ancestors told us about when they said, 'Did not the Lord bring us up out of Egypt?' But now the Lord has abandoned us and given us into the hand of Midian." The Lord turned to him and said, "Go in the strength that you have and save Israel out of Midian's hand. Am I not sending you?" "Pardon me, my Lord," Gideon replied, "but how can I save Israel? My clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I'm the least in my family." Well, there's a proper self-evaluation. I'm far too insignificant for such a great thing. But the Lord has an answer for that, and it's exactly the same one he gave to Moses. The Lord answered, "I will be with you." Same answer to the same problem. And that is just the way God likes it. And God uses Gideon to bring about a great deliverance to his people at that time in history. Gideon was a nobody by the standards of the world, but God likes using nobodies to fulfill his great purposes. That way, everybody knows it was the Lord who did it. 1 Corinthians 1:26, Paul says, "Brothers and sisters, think of what you were when you were called. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many were influential. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. God chose the lowly things of this world and the despised things and the things that are not to nullify the things that are, so that no one may boast before him." Now, let's go to the call of Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 4, Jeremiah gives his account. "The word of the Lord came to me, saying, 'Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations.'" Now hear Jeremiah's response. "Yes, Lord, happy to go." Well, not exactly. It was really, "Alas, sovereign Lord, I said, 'I do not know how to speak. I am but a child.' But the Lord said to me, 'Do not say I am but a child.'" And in verse 8, the answer is the same we saw with Moses and Gideon. God's answer to all Jeremiah's deficiencies and insecurities was, "I will be with you." And so he was. And Jeremiah fulfilled God's purpose in his generation. And we have handed down to us the books of Jeremiah and Lamentations, both written by him. Though we're not called to the same work as Moses or Gideon or Jeremiah or John Wesley or Billy Graham or Amy Simple McPherson, but any purpose a great God has planned for us is a great purpose. Being a church in this city is in itself a great purpose. Just showing up here is a great purpose, because when people don't show up, churches close, and where churches close, darkness grows. So just by being here right now, we are fulfilling part of God's great purpose for our lives. We all have our limitations, but God made us that way because he wants us to need him and to need each other. It's only together as church and only by God's grace and strength that we will accomplish his plan for us in our generation. There is a world of hurt out there. People are hurting all around us. The world hurts. But Jesus and his deep love, Jesus and his great compassion, Jesus and his atoning sacrifice. Jesus is what the world needs, who the world needs. We represent Jesus to the world, and that is as high a calling and as great a purpose as you can get. More on this next week.
I am thine, O Lord, I have heard thy voice, and it told thy love to me. But I long to rise in the arms of faith and be closer drawn to thee. Draw me nearer, nearer, blessed Lord, to the cross where thou hast died. Draw me nearer, 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 blessed Lord, to thy precious bleeding side. Consecrate me now to thy service, Lord, by the power of grace divine. Let my soul look up with a steadfast hope, and my will be lost in thine. Draw me nearer, nearer, blessed Lord, to the cross where thou hast died. Draw me nearer, 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 blessed Lord, to thy precious bleeding side. Oh, the pure delight of a single hour that before thy throne I spend. When I kneel in prayer and with thee, my God, I commune as friend with friend. Draw me nearer, nearer, blessed Lord, to the cross where thou hast died. Draw me nearer, 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 blessed Lord, to thy precious bleeding side. There are depths of love that I cannot know till I cross the narrow sea. There are heights of joy that I may not reach till I rest in peace with thee. Draw me nearer, nearer, blessed Lord, to the cross where thou hast died. Draw me nearer, 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 blessed Lord, to thy precious bleeding side.